Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of people reacting to the sports brothers or sisters or family members that have been thrown out there.
Okay.
Jeff from Cottontown texting in says the Watt brothers and the Griffies as well.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up the Griffies. So Brennan yesterday showed me a clip with Ken Griffey Jr. catching a fly ball from his dad. I'm like, they didn't play at the same time. They actually crossed paths in MLB.
I'm pretty sure they played together.
Man, I am like today is a great example of my lack of sports knowledge. Really?
I think so.
I totally thought that Ken Griffey Sr. retired in like 1986 and then Griffey was like a rookie in 89. Okay, apparently not. But that's a good father-son. Well, if you want to talk about best all-time combo, like the yeah. Bonds, you know, Bobby and Barry and the Griffies, Ken and Ken Jr. Yeah,
they played 90-91 together.
Gosh, okay, cool.
And, of course, Joe Rex Road and Brennan Rex Road in our rec basketball league.
Yeah. Yeah. Next great father-son duo.
Well, you know, I tried, you know. Tried to turn him into a great basketball player like me. It's hard. It's a big shadow, you know, that looms over you. What are you supposed
really
to
is.
Do? Yeah, you know.
Bobby and Brett Hull on the text line coming from John Whitehouse, father son duo.
We talked about this. We had this big conversation. Like this was like totally like sports bar conversation this weekend. And yes, the Hulls for sure. I mean, I even threw out, hey. Mark Howe wasn't terrible, so just because his dad was Gordy Howe, like Gordy and Mark Howe, there you go. But Bobby and Brett Hull is a pretty good one, man. That's because Bobby was a great player, but obviously Brett Hull, one of the great goal scorers in league history. Yeah, that's tough to beat. Griffey's really good too, man.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them. So they hit back-to-back home runs at Griffey's. I just completely blanked out on that era.
And Giannis has brothers in the NBA. There you go.
Yeah, keep telling me other sports information I have no clue about. Someone's just laughing at me on the text line. I don't know why, but there's plenty of possible reasons. So
615-737-1025. So obviously you guys discussed the Jeffrey Simmons stuff pretty heavily last week in terms of him looking for a new contract. As TD pointed out, I believe on Friday, looks like he's hired some representation. So looks like Jeffrey Simmons has some representation.
He does have an agent.
Heading into contract negotiations with the Titans. I went back and listened to the interview with Joel Corey that y'all did on Friday, which first off, really good interview. Thought he did a really good job of kind of explaining and laying it out there for Titans fans. My question to you, Joe Rex Road, is if you're the Titans, how much interest do you have in signing Jeffrey Simmons to a new contract right now? Obviously, you want him to be a part of your future. You want him to be a member of your team for a long time. He's very valuable to your defense. He does still have 2 years left on his contract, and technically, if you wanted to go all hardball with the situation, he could be under your control for the next 3 seasons. So how much of a priority, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, would you make Jeffrey Simmons at this moment today? Because Joel Corey made it seem like he's one of those guys that you just need to go ahead and get a contract done.
Yeah, I think I'd make it a high priority, and even though it may be a departure from what you normally do. Well, Jeffrey Simmons is a departure from who you normally have on your football team, right? I've seen some people on the text line last week were like, the Titans stuck their necks out for him when, you know, in the draft. So, okay, great. Why does that matter now? What is he? What has he become? Has he been a hint of an issue off the field since he's been here? No. Has he been great on it? He's growing into, I think last year he grew into what you could call a great player. So to me, it just makes sense to look, the Titans, I mean, under John Robinson, for the most part, first round picks have not been staying here, you know, and in most cases it made sense. And I could have made the case to try to, you know, I think they wanted to keep Conklin to a certain point, but I mean, I could have made the case to go farther to keep him, but for the most part, it's all understandable, even with Corey Davis after the really good year he had. But this is one you need to keep. You need to keep I mean, over a long period of time, you need to have some first-round picks who get second deals with you, and this is the one to do. And this is the one to do now. And I think that if you do it now, and I don't know exactly what he's looking for or how far apart they are or anything like that, but if you get it done now, then you give him that security, which I think is understandable. He would want it. And also, that deal might look all right on the back end, the way things are going, the way the cap may be going, you know. To get it locked up now could be a pretty good-looking deal, just like which happens a lot in this league at positions other than running back, you know?
Yeah.
Where you sign someone and all of a sudden 2-3 years down the road, you're like, wow, that's a bargain of a deal. We used to think that about Ryan Tannehill, by the way, too long ago.
We did. Well, it's one of those things where, like, I totally understand from Simmons' standpoint, like, it's pretty clear the reasons why he should want a new contract. He's outperformed the deal he's on right now. I mean, if he even approaches what he did last year over the next couple of years, he's going to be way underpaid. So I don't think there's any question about that. I will say, like, if you're the Titans, I wonder if part of them's looking around and saying, well, yeah, oh, that's great, but this is how the system is set up, and we've got 2 years of Jeffrey Simmons for this price. Why would we not want to take advantage of that and try to create a team around Jeffrey Simmons where you can win right now and not create – a cap hit that is detrimental towards doing that and bringing other pieces in. Like, that balance for John Robinson, we talk about this with quarterbacks a lot, of winning under the rookie deal. Like, it's not the same thing here because it's not the quarterback and he's not going to be making, you know, $45 million a season or anything like that. But I do wonder, like, if you're John Robinson, I agree. I think this is a different situation. But how hard is that balance if you're a general manager of, I understand all that, but right now his price is what it is, and that's the way things are set up. And if we keep it that way, it's easier to bring in other players to help us win right now if you're J-Rob.
Yeah, well, that's also something that could, in theory, hurt you in free agency. I mean, people are like, oh, yeah, that, you know, you don't necessarily want to go there. That GM is a low baller. He wouldn't even pay Jeffrey Simmons when it was obvious he needed to be paid. Now, how much is that actually, you know, when you talk about free agency, does the team come with, like, a legit offer for you in free agency? And you may be like, okay, great. Well, he's paying me, so I'm coming. You know? I don't know if it really has that. But you do get reputation as a GM, you know. As GMs, they get reps with players. I don't think, you know, look, I don't think Jeffrey Simmons would be very happy about it. And I'm sure he'd be a pro and he'd go out and play on his contract. But work environment can also be, you know, can be dictated. I think a lot of these guys on this team were shaken and not happy when A.J. Brown was moved. You don't want to keep having these issues with players who are disgruntled, right? Like, you choose good players, and they become great players or maybe on the cusp of being great players. You should reward them. You should. And I understand the A.J. Brown thing is a totally different, and I don't think this will get to that. But I think at times you need to, like, think big picture and show people, if you do this and ABC, you know, we're going to reward you. If you're Jeffrey Simmons playing at $4 million this year, that's tough. That's you're putting yourself on the line, one helmet to the knee, and that's, you know, that could be it for you. So he could play hardball. I just don't think he will. I don't think he should, and I don't think he will.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you're John Robinson, are you making Jeffrey Simmons' contract a priority right now, or are you waiting for Jeffrey Simmons maybe a year or two down the road? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of people reacting to the sports brothers or sisters or family members that have been thrown out there.
Okay.
Jeff from Cottontown texting in says the Watt brothers and the Griffies as well.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up the Griffies. So Brennan yesterday showed me a clip with Ken Griffey Jr. catching a fly ball from his dad. I'm like, they didn't play at the same time. They actually crossed paths in MLB.
I'm pretty sure they played together.
Man, I am like today is a great example of my lack of sports knowledge. Really?
I think so.
I totally thought that Ken Griffey Sr. retired in like 1986 and then Griffey was like a rookie in 89. Okay, apparently not. But that's a good father-son. Well, if you want to talk about best all-time combo, like the Bonds, you know, Bobby and Barry and the Griffeys, Ken and Ken Jr. Yeah,
they played 90-91 together.
Gosh, okay, cool.
And, of course, Joe Rexroad and Brennan Rexroad in our rec basketball league.
Yeah. Yeah. Next great father-son duo.
Well, you know, I tried, you know. Tried to turn him into a great basketball player like me. It's hard. It's a big shadow, you know, that looms over you. What are you supposed
really
to
is.
Do? Yeah, you know.
Bobby and Brett Hull on the text line coming from John Whitehouse, father son duo.
We talked about this. We had this big conversation. Like this was like totally like sports bar conversation this weekend. And yes, the Hulls for sure. I mean, I even threw out, hey, Mark Howe wasn't terrible. So just because his dad was Gordy Howe, like Gordy and Mark Howe, there you go. But Bobby and Brett Hull is a pretty good one, man. That's because Bobby was a great player, but obviously Brett Hull, one of the great goal scorers in league history. Yeah, that's tough to beat. Griffey's really good too, man. Yeah. I mean, both of them. So they hit back-to-back home runs at Griffey's. Great. I just completely blanked out on that era.
And Giannis has brothers in the NBA. There you go.
Yeah, keep telling me other sports information I have no clue about. Someone's just laughing at me on the text line. I don't know why, but there's plenty of possible reasons. So
615-737-1025. So obviously you guys discussed the Jeffrey Simmons stuff pretty heavily last week in terms of him looking for a new contract. As TD pointed out, I believe on Friday, looks like he's hired some representation. So looks like Jeffrey Simmons has some representation.
He does have an agent.
Heading into contract negotiations with the Titans. I went back and listened to the interview with Joel Corey that y'all did on Friday, which, first off, really good interview. Thought he did a really good job of kind of explaining and laying it out there for Titans fans. My question to you, Joe Rexroad, is if you're the Titans, how much interest do you have in signing Jeffrey Simmons to a new contract right now? Obviously, you want him to be a part of your future. You want him to be a member of your team for a long time. He's very valuable to your defense. He does still have 2 years left on his contract, and technically, if you wanted to go all hardball with the situation, he could be under your control for the next 3 seasons. So how much of a priority, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, would you make Jeffrey Simmons at this moment today? Because Joel Corey made it seem like he's one of those guys that you just need to go ahead and get a contract done.
Yeah, I think I'd make it a high priority. And even though it may be a departure from what you normally do, well, Jeffrey Simmons is a departure from who you normally have on your football team, right? And I've seen some people on the text line last week were like, the Titans stuck their necks out for him when, you know, in the draft. So, okay, great. Why does that matter now? What is he? What has he become? Has he been a hint of an issue off the field since he's been here? No. Has he been great on it? He's growing into, I think last year he grew into what you could call a great player. So, to me, it just makes sense to, look, the Titans, I mean, under John Robinson, for the most part, first-round picks have not been staying here, you know. And in most cases, it made sense. And I could have made the case to try to, you know, I think they wanted to keep Conklin to a certain point. But, I mean, I could have made the case to go farther to keep him. But for the most part, it's all understandable, even with Corey Davis after the really good year he had. But this is one you need to keep. You need to keep, I mean, over a long period of time, you need to have some first-round picks who get second deals with you, and this is the one to do. And this is the one to do now. And I think that if you do it now, and I don't know exactly what he's looking for or how far apart they are or anything like that, but if you get it done now, then you give him that security, which I think is understandable. He would want it. And also, that deal might look all right on the back end, the way things are going, the way the cap may be going, you know, to get it locked up now. could be a pretty good looking deal, just like which happens a lot in this league at positions other than running back, you know?
Yeah.
Where you sign someone and all of a sudden 2-3 years down the road, you're like, wow, that's a bargain of a deal. We used to think that about Ryan Tannehill, by the way. Not too long ago.
We did. Well, it's one of those things where, like, I totally understand from Simmons' standpoint, like, it's pretty clear the reasons why he should want a new contract. He's outperformed the deal he's on right now. I mean, if he even approaches what he did last year over the next couple of years, he's going to be way underpaid. So I don't think there's any question about that. I will say, like, if you're the Titans, I wonder if part of them's looking around and saying, well, yeah, oh, that's great, but this is how the system is set up, and we've got 2 years of Jeffrey Simmons for this price. Why would we not want to take advantage of that and try to create a team around Jeffrey Simmons where you can win right now and not create a cap hit that is detrimental towards doing that and bringing other pieces in? Like, that balance for John Robinson, we talk about this with quarterbacks a lot, of winning under the rookie deal. Like, it's not the same thing here because it's not the quarterback and he's not going to be making, you know, $45 million a season or anything like that. But I do wonder, like, if you're John Robinson, I agree. I think this is a different situation. But how hard is that balance if you're a general manager of, I understand all that, but right now his price is what it is, and that's the way things are set up. And if we keep it that way, it's easier to bring in other players to help us win right now if you're J-Rob.
Yeah, well, that's also something that could, in theory, hurt you in free agency. I mean, people are like, oh, yeah, that, you know, you don't necessarily want to go there. That GM is a low baller. He wouldn't even pay Jeffrey Simmons when it was obvious he needed to be paid. Now, how much is that actually, you know, when you talk about free agency, does the team come with, like, a legit offer for you in free agency? And you may be like, okay, great. Well, he's paying me, so I'm coming. You know, I don't know if it really – has that, but you do get reputation as a GM. You know, as GMs, they get reps with players. I don't think, you know. Look, I don't think Jeffrey Simmons would be very happy about it, and I'm sure he'd be a pro and he'd go out and play on his contract. But work environment can also be, you know, can be dictated. I think a lot of these guys on this team were shaken and not happy when A.J. Brown was moved. You don't want to keep having these issues with players who are disgruntled, right? Like, you choose good players, and they become great players or maybe on the cusp of being great players. You should reward them. You should, and I understand the A.J. Brown thing is totally different, and I don't think this will get to that. But I think at times you need to, like, think big picture and show people, if you do this and ABC – you know, we're going to reward you. If you're Jeffrey Simmons playing at $4 million this year, that's tough. That's you're putting yourself on the line, one helmet to the knee, and that's, you know, that could be it for you. So he could play hardball. I just don't think he will. I don't think he should, and I don't think he will.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you're John Robinson, are you making Jeffrey Simmons' contract a priority right now, or are you waiting for Jeffrey Simmons maybe a year or two down the road? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in Friday through Sunday for the following races at the Nashville Super Speedway. Friday, the Rackley Roofing 200 at 6:30. Saturday, the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 2 o'clock. And on Sunday, the Ally 400 at 3 o'clock. Also, join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning for 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for the racing weekend. NASCAR on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game is presented by the Backyard Blues Pools, Tootsie's Infield Club, Nashville Super Speedway, and the Nashville's Fairground Speedway as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. So, Joe, here we sit. Mini camp for the Titans is in the rearview mirror, training camp just a few weeks away at this point. What are your thoughts on the state of the Tennessee Titans now that minicamp is done and training camp is right around the corner? What sort of a group do you think they have? What stands out to you about this team now that minicamp is behind the team?
Well, I think they're good. I think they are probably going to step back. I feel pretty good about, well, not good for them, but I feel pretty confident that they're going to take a step back to some extent offensively. They do have a chance to exceed expectations offensively, which they did not have a chance really to do a year ago. So, you know, that's the look at the bright side. That's the sunshiny spin it your way view is like, hey, you know, if the Titans are good, then they'll actually, offensively I'm saying, then they'll actually impress people. And last year it was impossible expectations on it. But you'd still rather have a team on paper that looks ridiculous and have impossible expectations to try to live up to than hope this, and this work out, and you're pretty good on offense. I mean, I think that's where all the concern is the offensive side of the ball, the receivers, the offensive line. I put the offensive line first in terms of concerns. There are possible answers there. So the fact that you have four players competing for that 40% of the offensive line that's completely unsettled right now could be good. They could lift each other and all that, but you could end up with two non-starting quality players at those two spots. And what does that mean? How much does that drag down Taylor Lewan or Nate Davis? You know, I think that's the number one concern. And then receiver is a concern, obviously, too. I mean, Treylon Burks is going to be just a big story in camp. The guy is a really good football player. He could be a very good NFL receiver. Just haven't obviously seen much and don't know if it's going to continue to be a thing that he can't participate in stuff. If he can't, then what can you realistically expect from the guy in his rookie year?
Yeah, I mean, that's to me a huge question. Like, when training camp comes around, he needs to be able to be on the field for the whole time. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to make a huge difference, the fact that he's not really been out there all that much when it comes to what he does in October at this point, but you're talking about a guy that with expectations just normally with a first-round pick, they're sky high anyway, and then you factor in that the Isaiah Wilson situation from 2 years ago, Caleb Farley from last year, they've gotten virtually nothing out of their first-rounders the last couple of years, and you just traded A.J. Brown. I mean, the expectations for this kid are going to be through the roof, and he's not been on the field. So, like, it's difficult for me. If he comes out there the first week of training camp and he's not a full participant, I mean, that's a huge deal to me. Like, he needs to be ready to go, and he needs to be able to participate and get through multiple practices in a row out there with the offense, because every rep at this point between him and Tannehill is going to be really important. And it just kind of feels like there's been some lost time between those two over the course of the last few weeks. And again, is that going to be the world's biggest deal come October? Maybe not, but it certainly doesn't help right now. Like, you could be much further along in the process than they are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you think about all the deal made of Julio Jones missing time in camp and during the season, all that stuff, and the whole thing with Tannehill and chemistry. Well, Julio Jones is a great receiver who has seen every coverage and has run every route to perfection and has probably made every type of sight adjustment you can make and can sit there and talk with Tannehill about all these things, who's been in the league a long time. And, like, you really can talk a lot of that stuff out. A rookie receiver, you really have to see it. You got to go do it and figure it out and get the timing and all that stuff. So that's a big one. But if you want to talk about overall, we haven't talked about the defense because it's all pretty much, to me, positive. And even the fact that Caleb Farley, we talked about this last week, but Caleb Farley is out there in some of these team things in a yellow jersey, but still.
Yep.
They're willing to put him out there and that stuff. I was a little bit surprised by that. And I think that speaks well of his progress. So, we'll see. Elijah last week was like maybe late October, early November, you can expect something from him. I don't know. I think it could be earlier than that, potentially. I mean, if he's doing the stuff he's doing now, I think the idea of Farley being active for the opener is there.
Yeah.
And we still just don't know how good of a player he is, but at least that's a possibility. That looks all positive. McCreary, I think, looks like a guy who they could potentially count on this year. That looks like a pick that has a chance to pay off. And then everything else is pretty set, pretty strong on that defense. You know, we'll see with the third safety thing. I think Theo Jackson showed some promise, but we'll learn more about him in camp too. That is still a spot that could maybe use a little depth added in terms of a veteran.
Where do you think Tannehill is right now as they head into training camp? Given everything that's happened from the tumultuous offseason to the press conference to the mentor gate to how he's responded on the field in your eyes, heading into obviously a pivotal year for him, not only with the Titans this year, but just for his career in general, where do you think he is heading into training camp?
I think he looked great out there. He threw the ball like he's thrown the ball since he's been here for the most part, other than last year and some of those games when he was throwing it to the other team. But, yeah, he looks good. He looks like he's doing all the things on the field as a leader you'd want from him. And it really, to me, comes down to, is he going to get protected? Because, obviously, that was not good enough for a lot of last year. And then I think he's really going to like Austin Hooper. There's no doubt in my mind that Hooper is going to be a big part of the offense, is a significant upgrade at that position. And that will soften some of the blow of losing A.J. Brown. But, you know, on the outside, Robert Woods is good. Westbrook Akina has to be mentioned quickly, early, when you start talking about receivers. And then after Burks and the big question there and the need there, that's, you know, I'm really not sure with that receiving core. Actually, I do think Josh Malone has got a watching camp for sure. He's helped himself. But is that enough? I mean, how do they feel about that? That room? There's another possible veteran add situation. To me, it's still – but if you tell me that Ryan Tannehill is going to get better protection than last year, then I think he's going to have a really good year. But how do you feel good about that right now?
It's hard to feel good about it. That's why it's going to be interesting to see when the pads come on, coming up for the offensive lineman. That's when you start to learn things in training camp and – you know, can Dylan Radins handle that? Can Nicholas Petit-Frere handle that? Who's playing left guard? There's a lot that we're going to find out when the pads come on. That's probably the most interesting offensive line watching we're going to be doing around here in a long time, be my guess.
Yeah, it's been pretty set.
Yeah,
right tackle has been a thing here, you know, since Conklin left. They've bounced around. And Kelly. But, yeah, two spots. It's been a while since they've had two spots that are that up in the air and potentially problematic.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant, Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day with his favorite song, Glorious Domination, leading us back in here to the program today. Joe Rex Road, how's this one feel? I turn things over to you.
That's amazing timing because my rant today is, please, Bill Haslam, get rid of Glorious Domination. It's perfect. Thank
that'd
you.
That'd be act one of your new tenure.
Yeah. No matter what else you do, okay? Just please get rid of that. Well, I have some other ideas too, but start there. Good job, Michelle. I'm always like waiting now on pins and needles of what you're gonna do. That was.
I know.
Was
I saw your
good.
Eyes. You always are like,
what's coming next?
Some Wonder Rex.
I kind of missed the NCOT B, but
of course that could be Rex Road thinking about anything. Just
That's true.
It's gonna happen.
Hurts for me to think too. So there's that. Okay, so I think I've said some of my past jobs before, so I'm gonna say it again. Just because this is kind of a kind of a hypocritical rant. So my first job was only for tips. It was a bagger at the commissary at King Abdul Aziz Air Base in seventh grade in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. And I had a little box, and basically I bagged groceries. Back then, it was only paper bagging, of course. And I bagged groceries, and if people wanted to leave a tip, they left a tip. Otherwise, I didn't get paid. Like, I'd show up, and it was like, you know, if you get paid, if you do a good job and are nice to people, maybe they'll throw a buck in there, like a dime or something.
Yeah.
So that was my first job, was only working for tips. I've worked at a golf course as a cart boy and basically made tips. Why is that funny?
I didn't know you were a cart boy.
Not like the beer cart, but like I came out and like, let me put your clubs in the back.
Yep.
Yep. And
I
like,
thought we had bartender Rex at like age 12.
No, there was, well, we did know where the beer cart was. But no, there'd be like a few golfers there that like you knew, like we'd fight for, you'd race over to, I remember, yeah, this one guy drove a Lexus. It was like, oh yeah, this dude, it's $10 every time.
Oh, get
your butt over there. I've been a pizza delivery boy, I guess. I was in college, but I delivered pizza.
Me too.
And so there you go. So, and very much, you know, like you get totally locked in on like different areas of town where you get better tips or worse tips and what should be the tip and all this stuff. So I'm saying all this to say, why does every single thing have to have a tip now?
I don't know.
Because I won't call out the specific businesses because, you know, no free ads. But I think, are we headed toward all the fast food places? So now when you pay with your card, it says, would you like to leave a tip? You feel like a total jerk when you don't. But I'm like, I don't, like, is this supposed to be tipped here? Like, and on top of that, so there's that. And then there's also, if you have someone, you know, come out, like we've had people come out to like do some landscaping work that we couldn't do.
Yep.
It's like, okay, what do you charge? Okay. Whatever you charge to me, the tip is inherent in the charge. It's not like you're setting the price.
Yeah.
So whatever you say you charge, I'm going to pay you that. You should not then expect like a percentage for a tip. No, it's your business.
Well, who gets tips for landscaping?
I'm telling you that. We've been asked, like, oh.
Just put it in the price, man.
Exactly.
Well, same with moving, right?
Yeah.
Like movers. I'm like, how much? Yes. And then they tell you, and then they're like, do you want a tip? But I'm like, just add it in
yeah,
the
just
head
how
and
much,
don't let
man.
Me know.
Just how much, right. So, again, like I hate to rail against people making tips. Some jobs, if you don't get tips, you don't get any money.
Sure, yeah.
If you obviously are a server or a bartender, like, you have to have the tips to make it worth your while. But, yeah, if you set the price on something, just set the price. And then the fast – I mean, look, there is an argument like, okay, well, wait a minute. So if you go get takeout somewhere – this is a confusing one for me too. The takeout thing, if you go to like a restaurant, you get takeout. What's the percentage you should tip? Because it's not like it shouldn't be 20%. I don't feel like.
No, like you're going to pick it up yourself.
Right, you're going to pick it up yourself. But like, as for the tip, so what should the percentage be? I actually have been meaning to figure that out. I usually give about 10.
I think that's good for that, yeah.
But is that too high, too low? It can't be too low, though, right?
It's not too low.
No. Well, I just never know because then you don't also know if those people are making hourly or – like I know a friend who works at the front of a pizza counter, but she doesn't make as much hourly, but she gets tips, but most of it's from takeout.
Okay.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. So you think about a person like that, and you're like, well.
Well, now I feel bad, right? It's like you just don't know.
But so then go to pick any fast food restaurant. You pay with your card. More and more of them I have found have the would you like to leave a tip? And it has like the, you know, 15%, 20%, 25% or something like that.
Or custom.
Yeah. Right. It's like, so. I mean, you feel like a total jerk if you don't. I typically leave something if it shows up.
Me too.
But sometimes it'll be like custom and I'll just be like not a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But I just, I don't like where we're going with this. You know?
It's really weird. I'm glad you brought this up. And there's been one part of this in terms of like things that are asking for tips now and different places that you go to. Full disclosure. The downtown scene, I just don't do much of anymore. I'm in a different stage of life. I, generally speaking, try to avoid downtown Nashville at all costs. But sometimes I end up there, and I was there a month or two ago. And you go downtown to these establishments, and like you're in the restroom taking care of business, and you go to wash your hands, and like there are people in there, and they're waiting to like fill your hands up with soap,
sure,
and put them under the water. So this has been going on for a long time, and then they just look at you after and like you okay, like, you want a dollar? So like there was a time where I would just do it, and then eventually I got to the point where I was just like, hey, you know, I can wash my hands all by myself. I don't need somebody to fill my hands up with soap. I can just stick my hand under the machine and soap comes out and I can wash these all by myself. That was always weird to me of like, oh, we're just going to hang out in the bathroom and
the restroom
fill people's
attendant.
Hands up with soap
yeah,
all day.
Yeah, the restroom attendant. Yeah. And typically, like more at clubs or slash kind of fancier places, typically, you know, it's like in the movie Ferris Bueller, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or like his dad's in there, and you get the guy, or he has like mints or whatever. Yeah, with those, like I always, like I have definitely many times left a dollar or whatever.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you get luck out and there's a whole bunch of people in there and you just quickly like wash your hands real fast, but thoroughly, don't get me wrong, thoroughly, and then just kind of get out of there and, you know, don't get seen. But yeah.
Well, I've
found if they actually get to the point of putting the soap on your hand, how do you not give them a tip? You
well, know? I found as I've gotten older, I just don't care anymore. Like I used to be really concerned about that, but now I'm just like, no, I don't need it, man. Sorry. See you later. I have no problem telling people no anymore.
Well,
go away.
This also gets into someone on the text line talking about a coffee place that it'll ask you if you want to leave a tip for your baristas with the baristas right behind them, putting you on the spot. There's also the grocery store. Would you like to leave a dollar for, you know, a particular charity or something? I will say, though, with those, I always say yes. You get more coupons if you
do it. True.
So that's a little tip. You get coupons if you use coupons.
And you're donating to a good cause.
A little tip on tipping. Yes. What's that?
And you're donating to a good cause.
Yeah, sure. So like, of course, like who's gonna say, hey, would you like to, you know, donate to, you know, food pantry or something like that, or for kids or something like? I mean, that's a tough one to say no to, right?
It is.
You can, but. There's just a lot of this, and it's tough to navigate. I need actual feedback on what you're supposed to tip someone when you get takeout.
Yeah.
That's
a tough one.
What about like a haircut?
Yeah.
I don't go to expensive haircut places. I know it may be shocking to you. But
Lego
like
hair.
I leave it.
I admit
yeah, my Lego hair just needs a little.
It's the beauty of doing it yourself.
That's
you're
true.
Just saying, you know.
Yeah, you haven't had to worry about the haircut thing
long
for a while.
Time.
It's kind of nice, but that's also a tipping thing, which
yeah.
is fine. That one is fine, but especially if you own your own business, like if you're a kid who has a lawn service, charge what you're going to charge.
Yeah.
Or if you're a babysitter, charge what you're going to charge, and that's what you're going to
get.
Just
what it is. Yeah. Like, I don't understand that part of it.
Manufacturing a tip.
Yeah. Dennis on the text line says, wait, are we the listeners supposed to be Venmoing you guys tips after each show? I've just been listening without tipping all this time. Sorry.
Dennis, yes.
Dennis, your illustrations are tip
They're
enough.
Tips enough yes.
But in general, yes. Thank you. We need some back pay, people. Let's
all our Venmos are just our first and last names.
I actually don't have a Venmo, but I
can give
you
Rex Road has a Venmo.
I can give you my wife, though.
No, it's Katie's because she's Venmo'd me.
Yeah, she
knows how to do things like that.
Evan on the text line says, tipping culture just keeps wages low for workers. Mark up the product and pay your employees better. Tips should be a reward for good service, not the only way people get paid. This is coming from Evan on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Phil says, tipping in this economy? Yeah, also a fair point.
I had totally forgotten about the restroom attendant until you brought this back up, and now I'm just thinking to myself, man, it's amazing that people actually did this. It's crazy.
It's been a while since I've been to a place that has. I'm not.
Well, I got to a point there
I'm
for
not,
a while.
I'm not
I would,
clubbing a lot.
I would purposely avoid. I was like, no, I'm not going in there.
Do they work for the bar?
Be outside.
Do they work for the bar, or are
no
they
idea.
Just there? Like, I had no idea.
I think they're typically sort of like it's almost like a concessions person, right? They're independent contractors who work at a. Athletic event or whatever, yeah.
Someone like
there's another
down.
One, by the way. You tip.
Take
you,
this soap. Take it now.
Come here. Give me your hand. Well, what about? What about like when you, if you go to a ball game, buy a beer, you tip that person.
I typically
they'll
do.
Take yeah. it.
Yeah.
Which is, I've thought about that for, like, they open the fridge and open the thing for me.
Your $17 Bud Light.
Okay.
But I will say that typically in that situation, if I'm getting like hot dogs and pop or something for the kids, I usually don't. But if I get a beer, I usually do tip. Why?
I don't know.
Why is that?
Just program that way.
Yeah. Just because I'm about to feel better. I don't know.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Rhodes rant of the day. You can check out the Rex rant every day at 745 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get into on our text line, including one thought on the Titans scouts that I think is pretty interesting as we move forward here. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.